This is a Scoop Audio interview with new Labour MP Marion Street. Marion, have you seen your Saunders and Unsworth black book entry? And if so, what did it say about you?
It was, yes, I have seen it, and it was very straight up and down. It was straightforwardly biographical, just traversed some of the obvious bits that are known about my life, and ended up with a little opinion para at the bottom that I didn't think would especially enlighten their clients if they were at all interested in me.
Okay, so if you're particularly interested in Marion Street, you might want to listen to this interview rather than buying the Saunders and Unsworth black book.
You might.
Last year, Maurice Williamson, National MP for Pakuranga, referred to you in Parliament as scoring a trifecta in being a lesbian, a woman, and a former Labour Party president.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you the sort of person that keeps Ian Wishart awake at night, sweating?
Oh, God, I don't imagine so. I don't imagine Ian Wishart's given me too much thought. If in terms of agendas, I think if people have a look at the things I've done in my lifetime, though, they will see very rapidly that I'm a reformist, not a radical. I belong to a reforming party, not a radical party. And so, yes, I'm a thoroughgoing Labour reformist. If that keeps Ian Wishart awake at night, then poor dear.
It's interesting you say, so you're not too radical, because Matt McCartan said in an interview in 1994, he seemed to think that you're a bit too establishment. So perhaps are you too conservative?
Oh, well, I've always said to people that I'm not a radical. I never have been. And I do think that the Labour Party's history is a reforming history. And that's where I sit. I'm a great believer in the long view. And I'm a great believer in bedding down incremental change, because I don't think societies frequently, I don't think they often progress in a durable way with big bang changes, but they progress in a much more long-term and stable way incrementally.
Okay. So in effect, you probably weren't too happy with the change that occurred between 1984 and 1990 under Labour. They were too radical.
It was the mechanism that was problematic. God knows the place needed a shake-up. It was clear that the kind of hide-bound economic structures that we were living under, which included draconian measures like a wage and price freeze in 1982 that lasted for 2 years, those sorts of things were not sustainable and were never going to promote the kind of creative and dynamic sort of economy that we require, or that New Zealand required to advance itself adequately into the 90s and into the next millennium. So I was very clear that substantial change needed to be made. I think some of the mechanisms and the pace of them at that time were unwise.
You didn't think selling Telecom for a song was one of the most brilliant ideas ever?
No, I didn't. No, I opposed that at the time.
So you perhaps supported the anti-nuclear legislation,
oh, yeah,
homosexual law reform,
absolutely,
bill, but state-owned enterprises, not so keen on?
Selling them? No, wasn't keen on selling state-owned enterprises at all. Was very sure that the government needed to retain some of the critical levers within the economy that could be used by government to improve infrastructure, to provide investment opportunities within New Zealand for New Zealanders, and I thought that the role of state-owned enterprises, I didn't mind state-owned enterprises being set up, it seemed like a more modern way of doing things, as long as it didn't proceed to privatisation, which of course it did in a number of cases, and I opposed those because I thought that the government needed to have control on some of those levers. And we've lost that control, and telecom's a prime example.
Now, you didn't move to the Alliance. Why was that? Jim Anderton too radical?
No, I'm Labor to the core, and I was damned if I was going to let Richard Preble and Roger Douglas effectively disenfranchise me. I wanted to vote Labor. I'm pathologically Labor. And I was not going to let them disenfranchise me simply because they were perverting the cause of Labor, if you like. Leaving wasn't an option. And again, it comes back to that reformist thing. I've always worked within.
You did deliver pamphlets for Richard Preble. Mm. I read in another interview that Mr. Preble had never been invited to Helen Clark's or your place, and you were active in party politics and Labour in the early to mid-90s. So has Richard Preble ever come to your place?
No, I don't think so. I don't think. But I've never been to his house either.
He's never enjoyed your cooking there?
No, he hasn't. No, it's his loss. Perhaps one day he might come for dinner, who knows, but funnier things have happened. But when I joined the Labour Party, I was living in Auckland Central, as I did for much of my 27 years or so in Auckland, not all of it but most of it, and I became involved with his LEC, and yes, in 84 I delivered pamphlets for him. I was a runner on election day, all of that sort of thing.
Okay. In the 90s, you were reported as saying that Labor should be more friendly with the Alliance, probably when Labor and the Alliance weren't too friendly. Mm. Who do you see Labor's natural allies in Parliament these days being?
Well, MMP has been a really good shift for political structures in New Zealand, I think. Clearly it arose out of the fact that people were brassed off with the extremism of both National and Labour during the 80s in particular. But previously the National regime from 75 right through to 84, but it's the introduction of MMP has put a brake on total domination by one party, and so now it's a matter of parties working out what the extent of the agenda is that they can group around. So there may be some things that you would think would make the Māori Party and the Green Party natural, if not coalition partners, support partners of one sort or another.
The picture of Rob Donald that's in memoriam,
right,
on your wall.
I have a huge admiration for him. Yeah, huge admiration for him. Huge admiration for the role of the Green Party in New Zealand politics. But there are clearly points of difference. And so you can't say that anybody is a natural ally. I think possibly with the exception of Jim Anderton. And he feels like a natural ally, and I don't think it's a good thing. It's a good thing because it focuses people on the agenda, focuses people on what the things are that they really want to achieve, and then you can go after those. So New Zealand First, United Future. Obviously, we have lots in common, and that we have agreed around certain agenda items to be where we are now.
Just whipping back to the 90s, because that was when you were party president. Do you think that MMP has assisted Labor in that I say MPs like Ken Shirley and Richard Preble went off and found their natural home in the ACT Party. So you sort of lost some of those people. Did that help the factionalisation within Labor? Was it quite nasty when you were president?
It was nasty for other reasons. But absolutely it did. It was fantastic in that respect, in that it stripped off the what we would have considered to be the lunatic fringes from both ends of the party and left us with our social democratic base. And that was great because we were able to be less confused about who we were because we didn't have to be such a broad church. We are still a broad church party. We do incorporate a wide variety of views, but we're much clearer now about our social democratic basis and our political philosophy, and it's much easier for the electorate to identify because it's not being torpedoed all the time by people who really shouldn't have been in our tent.
How does the Labour factionalisation of today compare to when you were president? So how is the party today in that sort of respect?
It couldn't be more different in terms of its unity and its focus. I just think the way Helen has managed things from the beginning of her leadership in 93, and the first couple of years were really bumpy for her and for the party. They were very difficult, and those were my years in the presidency as well. But we got to the point in 96 where it became patently obvious that Helen was far and away the best performer as a leader in the election campaign, and that began to stop the silly nonsense, the stuff about how her hair went and what she was wearing, and you know, and people began to focus on...
She did have better hair in 1999, and sort of like there was a bit of an image makeover, wasn't there, between 96 and 99?
Yeah, everybody had to.
Maybe it's just the 90s.
There was everybody had to have a bit of a rethink about how we were pitching the party, and we did. And I just think her management since then has been spectacularly good. We haven't had leadership of that kind and of this sustained nature since Peter Fraser, and by the time we get to the election in 2008, she will have been the longest serving Labour leader ever and the longest serving Labour Prime Minister, and that's not luck. And what she's got and what she has welded together is a team that's very focused and very united, and I just love being in this Labour caucus. It's such a joy. People are supportive, they're encouraging, they're good mates. It's terrific. It's really good.
Do you think your joy of being in the Labour caucus may be helped by Peter Sharples of the Maori Party?
How's that work?
Because he beat John Tamahere.
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, okay.
Who we're not sure is in the Labour caucus anymore. Yes, I mean, Labour is a broad church, surely.
Yeah, it is.
But is it such a broad church that it has people advertising, you know, pushing for the privatisation of welfare in New Zealand, basically?
Yeah.
That's pretty broad.
Well, I didn't see John at any of the 90th anniversary celebrations just recently of the Labour Party, so... I don't know where he's going politically, but you'd have to ask him if he still considers himself to fit within the Labour frame. Certainly those ideas of his are way outside of the Labour frame.
Well, they're very Clinton, though.
Oh.
But only Clinton stealing the Republicans' ideas.
The parallels between a social democratic party and the Democrats in America is a fairly difficult one to draw. However, some commonalities for sure. So are we helped by Peter Sharples? You mean by the absence of John Tamahere? I think we've got a group that is both united and diverse in the Labour caucus, and I think that's great. We cut people slack when we need to, or when they need us to, and we can impose discipline as and when we need to as well. Works well.
Okay, just a couple more quick questions there, Maren. Political correctness. You're not a big fan of the anti-political correctness brigade. You're having a little running battles with Mr. Wayne Mapp, who's trying to eradicate it? What's new on the political correctness front?
Well, the thing that I referred to in my inaugural speech, my maiden speech in Parliament, was the shabby thinking that has gone around this idea of political correctness. So now it's possible to use political correctness as an accusation that provides somebody with the excuse to air their prejudices. And if you're going to eradicate political correctness, that means, I presume, that you are trying to eradicate all of the barriers that prevent people from airing their fundamental prejudices, which are hurtful, divisive,
and hateful.
Unkind and hateful. Yeah.
Is Dr. Wayne Mapp a divisive, hateful figure, or is he just misguided?
I think he's unfortunate in taking up that job. I knew him when he and I both taught in the Commerce Faculty at Auckland University, and he was a very capable academic and somebody whose work I respected. This must be driving him nuts, I think, this whole PC eradicator label. He's trying to finesse it into having some semblance of intellectual credibility, when in fact it will never be intellectually credible, and it will always be simply an excuse for bashing your favourite target group.
Okay, and the last question is, what are your goals in the next couple of years? You're the Deputy Chair of Health, so what's driving you at Parliament, legislation-wise?
Well, if I can answer that in two parts, one particular and one general. In general, I've come into Parliament with a background in industrial relations practice in the health sector. So from an employer and manager's perspective, running industrial relations across all the district health boards. I have experience as the Deputy Chair of Housing New Zealand. I have experience as a trustee of the Crown Forestry Rentals Trust. I think before that, in academia and secondary teaching and so on, and in union work. And I think, you know, people used to ask me, what was I doing? After the presidency, and I used to say, oh, well, I'm doing health, housing and treaty settlements, and with a reference to St. Paul, and the greatest of these is treaty settlements. And I, any of those areas, labour, industrial relations, health, housing, treaty settlements, I would be happy contributing from the basis of my experience in those areas in Parliament in any way. But in addition to that, it's really what I've really enjoyed is taking up things about which I've known nothing, like commerce. So I'm on the Commerce Select Committee. I'm on Regulations Review, which is all about government machinery. And I've been really enjoying the learning curve of both of those. That's been fantastic, especially the commerce and small business kind of stuff that I've been learning about and involved with a little bit with the Minister, Leanne Dalziel. So that expansion of my horizons, just almost, it's almost palpable for me. I can feel that I'm learning new stuff, which is great. So I don't want to limit myself to the things that I've done in the past when I'm capable of learning about new stuff as well. So any of those areas I'm interested in particular, at the moment, I've got a members bill that's in front of the select committee about the Residential Tenancies Act and the right of tenants to enjoy the same sort of insurance protection that other people do. And I'm developing a private members bill currently on socially responsible investment. And I'm doing that with looking at putting that together for the Crown financial institutions, the five of those, because I think if we want to move investment in the direction of social responsibility, and if we want to, given that one in every eight US investment dollars goes into social responsibility enterprises and efforts, if we want to stay modern and encourage business to do that kind of thing as well, then we've got to lead by example with the institutes that the Crown has particular responsibility for. So we need to make sure that our own organisations and CFIs are investing their funds in a way that's compatible with their own aims and with government aims as well. So it's
sounds very green, that.
It's core labour.
Core labour.
Absolutely core labour. Yeah. So I'm, and it's one of the things that I would expect to get support from the Greens on. But that's those are the sorts of things that I'm engaged in at the moment that are kind of outside of my familiar territory, but I'm pushing and learning about those a bit. And I'm also about to attend a conference in Kuala Lumpur on Burma and the kinds of pressures that
political hero
ASEAN, yes, yeah, that the ASEAN nations can take can apply to Burma to
she's still under house arrest.
She is, and so are about 1,100 other prisoners, and there are all sorts of infringements of human rights going on there, and grotesque things happening under the military junta. And that's a real passion of mine as well. So
you're happy to be a backbencher for a while?
I'm really happy to be a backbencher for a while. I've got plenty to keep me going. I'm still learning the ropes, finding out how things work. I'm learning how to work in the select committee process, and I enjoy that. So I got plenty to be going on with.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time.
All right, you're welcome.